the best character in Destiny is actually me. Not like the character I play as, but
you.
But physically me. And it's interesting because the new, when the new season...
2 hours later.
The best character, the most important character in Destiny is the player.
Can I get a
podcast? Welcome, everybody, to Can I Get a Podcast? Another episode. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. Jeff, how are you this week?
I'm great, Topher. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good.
What's the date?
The 19th.
Of?
April.
On?
A Friday.
Boom.
2019.
Let's go, baby.
I was under the gun on that one, under pressure, and I feel like I performed really well. We got a great show here today. We got a lot we got to talk about. We're going to talk about the controversy that rocked ESPN this week. It shook First Take.
Huge.
Fartgate. Who farted on First Take? We're going to talk about that as well as, Jeffrey, you had the great idea of taking in listener questions.
Yeah. We just needed to get some interaction going here on the pod.
And we got some good questions.
No doubt.
We'll get to that at the end of the podcast. But first, we are less than a week away from the start of the NFL draft.
That's right.
Now, a week from tonight, as we are recording on Friday, April 19th, as we said, that is when the Cowboys will make their first pick.
If they don't trade up.
If they don't trade up. So, the reason they don't have their first pick, and let's just dive right into it, is because of the Amari Cooper trade made last year. They went into last year saying, we are going to go with the wide receiver by committee. I thought it was a bad idea.
Everyone thought it was a bad idea except them.
Everyone thought it was a bad idea. And they learned, this isn't working out real well. So they trade a first-round pick to the Raiders, get Amari Cooper. To me, this is worth it. To be sitting
There's
at home
no doubt.
Doing nothing on Thursday. You have one or two guys, like wide receivers, who will go in the first round, neither of whom I am projecting to be better than Amari Cooper. So to me, for the Cowboys sitting out on Thursday, it's totally 100% worth it.
I mean, Amari Cooper is probably the difference between them making the playoffs and not making the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
So they got to the second round, they made the necessary trade for him, and it's good that they went for it.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think that the one thing, you deserve the blame for going for the wide receiver by committee route, but I do give you points
mistakes.
I do give you points for saying, hey, look, we made a mistake. We have to make that adjustment. And like you said, I still don't really know who Dak is as a quarterback, which is weird to say as we're entering into a contract year.
I think he's above average to good. That's where he is.
Yeah, I think he is, and I think that's why ultimately you have to end up paying him. But Dak is not a Tom Brady. Dak is not an Aaron Rodgers.
And I don't think anyone's saying that.
No, but my reason for saying that is you have to have him elite guys at the skill position.
Sure.
And I don't know if Amari Cooper's elite, Zeke Elliott is, but you need an Amari Cooper. And that's why I think the trade is okay because, look, here's the other thing about giving up a draft pick is, there's potential, but you never really know for sure.
Well, here's the thing. They were going to take a receiver anyways in the first round if they had this pick. So why not just get a receiver who's already in the NFL, who is a young receiver for having played 4 years in the league? He was already established. It was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
It was a no-brainer.
He did not play very much the year before last because he was getting out of good graces with the Raiders. And so it wasn't even being used that much. So some of the guys who you like think would go in the first round this year, like a DK Metcalf, a Paris Campbell, somebody like that, none of them are on Amari Cooper's level to me.
Dude, DK Metcalf did nothing in college, and he just had a Greek god body.
Yeah.
He's done nothing.
He got, like, super swole and shredded.
Yes. Yeah. I hate that about the NFL draft. But the Cowboys do have the 58th pick in the draft. They can go a myriad of ways with this pick, Chris. Where do you see them going with it?
I say you address your biggest need, and I say you address safety. And I think that's
George Iloken not a need addressment.
No, if you're
is that
telling
a word?
Addressment, probably not. But
I don't
we'll
think
say
so.
It is.
All right.
I think if you're like, the guys you're going to start there at safety are Jeff Heath and George Iloka.
Dude, Xavier Woods and George Iloka, you mean?
Even
I think
still,
it'd be Xavier Woods and George Iloka.
Does that change it for you, though?
Makes it a little better than... Yes, George Iloka is better than Jeff Heath, for sure.
But to me, that's not a good... That's not a good part of your starting defensive back.
No, that's probably your weakest point of your defense, yeah.
So, but that... Those three guys combined, Heath, Woods, Iloka, doesn't do it for me. So I go safety. And here's the interesting thing about safety. So if you look at the guys that now each team gets 30 draft visitors that can come and visit. And the Cowboys, that has always been a good indicator of who the Cowboys are going to take. So each of the Cowboys' last six first-round picks have been a top 30 visitor.
Nice.
All of the first-round picks except Mo Claiborne since 2005 have been hosted on one of these visits. So,
stat guy, Chris.
That's a really good indicator. So here are some of the safeties. Here were the safeties that visited in their top 30 picks. You had Jonathan Abram of Mississippi State, your boy Chauncey Gardner-Johnson of Florida, Will Harris, Boston College, Taylor Rapp, Washington, Juan Thornhill, Virginia, and Kari Willis of Michigan State. And the guy I would go with is, I like Juan Thornhill from Virginia. And the reason I like him is he's got the ball hawk mentality, and that's what this defense needs. The biggest issue this defense had last year was getting takeaways.
Yes.
And so getting a guy in the secondary who can get takeaways is going
to
be big.
You need a center fielder back there.
Yeah.
And that's why I'll go to bat for my boy Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Okay.
He is a ball hawk. He gets takeaways. He's versatile, kind of like Byron Jones, where he can play the safety or he can play corner. So he's a guy that I'd really like at 58. I wouldn't mind that at all, but
yeah.
I don't know if he'll get there.
I've seen a lot of people saying Taylor Rapp. I'm not going to pretend like I'm a huge like draft nerd.
Same
but,
here.
But like, all the people I read say that he's not a good coverage guy. And to me, that scares
me. The Cowboys need that.
Yeah. So I'm out on Rapp. Okay. I'm in on Thornhill. Just for the sake of being fair, I think one of their other big needs is defensive tackle. So here are the tackles they brought in their top 30 visits. John Kaminsky of Charleston, Tristan Hill, Central Florida, Kingsley Kiki from Texas A&M, and Gerald Willis of Miami, who actually was at Florida before leaving.
I'd be lying to you if I knew who any of those guys were except for Kiki.
Yeah, I don't either. The thing about Willis is who I think is a guy you can get in later rounds. Is the guy who left Florida. He had off-the-field issues, which I think is going to push him down.
Now, hey, that's right at the Cowboys' wheelhouse.
That fits the Cowboys' wheelhouse just perfectly. So I say safety at 58.
Okay. I'm with it.
Yeah. I think you address the biggest position of need. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. This is Can I Get a Podcast talking about the Cowboys' draft. Do you, if you're the Cowboys, trade up into the first round?
If the right player is there, yeah. I don't know if you're going to trade into the top five and go get Quinnen Williams or go get whoever the top safety in the draft is or whoever the top tight end in the draft is. I don't think you're going to go trade up to get those guys because
no.
I think the Cowboys are in a position where, as it is, and they get the right guy and like in the second and the third round, they're getting guys that can win with them. So I don't think there's a huge pressing need to trade up into the first round.
I just don't want the Cowboys to get greedy because
right.
The way you have to look at it as Amari Cooper is your first-round pick.
Yep.
So don't look at it as this year you don't have a first-round pick. The way you should look at it is we already have our first-rounder, and he's already proven that he can be a piece on a winning team.
That's right.
And so, to me, that doesn't scream the need. I think if there's a guy who you like and is there, like, late in the first
round.
Yeah,
like, you're talking, like, 28.
Yes, I was thinking 28 or later. Like, in those last four or five picks, if he's there.
I wouldn't mind making a move up for someone like that, but like it all just depends on how the draft unfolds and who's there.
Yeah. One last thing I wanted to say here in our Cowboys draft discussion is one guy or one position I think you need to address, not late, but like mid to late rounds, is running back. Because you need a guy who can be not really like a change of pace for Zeke.
You need a guy who can spell him.
Yeah.
No, so I have running back there, and I have tight end right there with him.
Yes.
Because, Jason Witten's great and all. He's not playing every single snap. So you definitely need some tight end depth. You definitely need a running back depth because you don't want Zeke. I mean, Zeke is an absolute workhorse, but you'd ideally not want him carrying the ball 430 times.
Yeah, and the issue with what they've had in the past is when you bring in Rod Smith, I mean, it's just day and night. It's so different bringing him in. The amount of, I guess, fear, I mean, it totally drops. He's not even the same kind of guy. So you're basically running a totally different offense. You need a guy like Zeke. I'm not saying you find the next Zeke to back him up.
I don't think that's happening.
But if you can bring in a guy who's got similar skill sets to Zeke, that's what you want.
Yeah, ideally, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a guy who can get you, on a good day, 10 to 12 carries.
Yeah.
You know, 50, 60 yards, catch a couple passes out of the backfield. That's what you're looking for in a backup.
A couple names that were just interesting to me. I think you can get Justice Hill.
Okay.
In the fifth round.
I like Justice Hill.
Maybe Miles Gaskin in the sixth.
Miles Gaskin's a good back,
I
too.
I would be good with a running back in the fifth or sixth round. I think that's a good place to address that.
Absolutely.
But you're right. I think tight end, too. You're not in a good place where a guy who spent a year, a guy who is old, spent a year in the TV booth,
yes,
returns, and he is without a doubt the best tight end on your team. That's not
It's not a great situation. It sets up perfectly for my boy Caden out of Stanford to get drafted and come home.
That would be cool.
That's what we're rooting for.
It's, you think to last year, like, remember the Jarwin game where he scored three touchdowns?
The Jarwin game, yes.
Like, outside
the
of
only
that.
The only one.
Yeah, it's...
Well, here's the thing. Last summer, last training camp, they were hyping up Blake Jarwin like he was the next Jason Witten, because he's like this great pass catcher or whatever, and he couldn't catch anything.
That is one thing the Cowboys do better than anybody. Is
just
like,
hype up the nobodies.
Yes.
Incredible.
Like Rico Gathers. I would be totally okay if we never had to hear Rico Gathers' name ever again.
I would actually be more than okay, yes.
He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. Okay, now we got to get to the important stuff.
Ooh, here we go.
The scandal that rocked ESPN this week. Who farted on First Take? That's next. Welcome back to Can I Get a Podcast? He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. Okay, we got the boring stuff, the meaningless stuff out of the
way.
Now
we're to the entertainment.
Now we're to the important stuff. This story came across to me on Tuesday, and it became big because Dan Lebatard made a huge deal out of this on his radio show.
Oh, I didn't listen to Lebatard, full disclosure.
I didn't either, but that's how I think this really started taking off, is where someone posted on Reddit. Started all from a Reddit thread where somebody went to the First Take YouTube page and they watched, like, the original video is like an hour long. So it's like 56 minutes into this original video. And you get what sounds like a fart sound. So our job today is to determine who farted on First Take. Here are our suspects. You've got the hosts, Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman.
Yeah.
And the host in the quote unquote, I guess,
moderator.
Like the moderator, Molly Karam. Now, we'll play the clip for you, and here's what you're going to hear. You're going to hear Stephen A. talking. This is a conversation they're talking about. This was the show on Monday, so they're talking about the Kevin Durant, Patrick Beverly beef. You're going to hear him talking about that. Then you hear Max Kellerman cough, and right after the cough, you hear the fart. So, luckily, this is a podcast. If you don't hear it, back it up.
And play it again.
Push the reverse 10-second button.
It's 15.
Back it up. Turn it up. I have mine set on 10.
Oh, I didn't know you could change it.
I guess if I changed it, I changed it a long time ago.
All right. Show me after the show.
Back it up to 15 and turn it up. So here's the clip. Listen for the fart.
He ain't scared of anything.
Well, is Draymond scared of something?
No, but the difference is that Draymond is usually arguing and fighting with the refs.
Okay, so just in case, let's play it one more time.
He ain't scared of anything.
Well, is Draymond scared of something?
No, but the difference is that Draymond is usually arguing and fighting with the refs.
That wasn't even a cough. It was a...
It was like, to me, what he's doing is trying to cover it up.
Absolutely, and that makes Max Kellerman number one prospect.
I just want to say...
Suspect, not prospect.
I just want to say that, so we don't get sued, audio courtesy of ESPN Television and First Take. I just want to cover all bases there.
I think we can use that because it's technically an ESPN property.
Well, I just want to cover myself anyway. I don't want to get the podcast taken down.
Yeah.
So we'll play the short version here just because I want to hear it a couple times. You hear Max Kellerman cough, which to me, is before the cough even ends, we hear the flatulence, which to me, this is the only tape you need to hear right here.
Usually odd.
Yeah, it wasn't even really a cough. It was more of like he was clearing his throat. Like
right.
That. To me, In my mind, I don't think there's any doubt that it was Max Kellerman.
There's zero doubt. I mean, is this even a debate? There are people saying it's Stephen A. Are people saying it's Molly?
So I did see, I went to the original Reddit post. And
Reddit's a dangerous place.
It is. And I took up DJ Ringenberg, our colleague here at 103.3
Daniel,
FM.
As I like to call him.
Yes, Daniel. His favorite, one of his favorite things to do to pass the time is to go into the comment section. And sometimes that is, too, also very dangerous.
Oh, that's so, more dangerous than going on Reddit itself.
And so I went into the comment section, and here was the conspiracy theory on why it was Molly that did it. She said she saw Max Kellerman going in for the cough and took that as her opportunity to try and sneak it out while you had the sound of the cough going.
Interesting.
Because Stephen A. was talking at the time. You thought Stephen A. is loud. Plus the volume of the cough, there's no way anybody will hear this.
I don't think you can react in time to see someone going in for a cough and then it register with your brain to be like, oh, now I can fart.
The only thing I will say, so I went back and I listened to part of the Lebatard show when they were talking about this. And they said that earlier in the show, Kellerman had a cough. So if it was something he had throughout the day, maybe she was waiting on it. She said the next time he coughs, like, she's just got it at the gate, like, you know, like the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
Right when the gates open, the horses come out. She's got the fart at the gate waiting, and she goes, when he goes in for that cough, those gates open, and Secretariat is coming out, baby.
Look, it could be Molly, but I just don't see it, and Max is my final answer.
I'll present a couple more pieces of evidence for you, why it's Max. Now, one, you need to go look, if you just Google First Take Fart, you'll find articles on it. There's a video of, if you back it up in the video a little bit farther than where we were, they do a wide shot of the table. And you see Max, he's looking at his notes, and he just shoots his head up and his eyes go wide. Like,
to me, a little tense there.
That's the moment he knows that
it's
gas
coming.
Is present.
Yep.
Yep. And then past where our long clip goes, if you keep listening a little bit further on, Stephen A. gets discombobulated. And he kind of trips over his words. That's where Stephen A. gets the smell. So to me, it's not Stephen A.
So you
Stephen
can
A.
see on the video where he gets the smell?
To me, when he gets discombobulated, like he starts talking over himself and we don't have that audio, you need to go look it up. To me, that's where the smell hits him. Because they're just right across the desk from each other.
It's definitely Kellerman then,
yes.
Because if it takes him a few seconds to get it, absolutely, it's Max.
I don't think anyway it's Stephen A., because
no, I think he's pretty much absolved from this,
yeah.
Because while the fart happened, I mean, he was talking.
So I was talking to my dad about this, and he said, is there a chance it was anybody off camera, or was it a squeaky chair, you think?
Not a squeaky chair. No chance it was off camera, because those mics are so sensitive that, no chance it was off camera.
And I don't think so either, because you've got people, like, behind the camera moving around.
Right.
Sipping coffee and stuff, like... If you could hear a fart, like, you would hear all that other stuff.
Yes, it's Max.
Podcast has come to our verdict. Max Kellerman found guilty by the court of Can I Get a Podcast?
Boom. Sorry, Max.
Sorry, Max. But it was entertaining. Like,
it was fantastic.
I loved Kellerman went on, like, Lebatard Show, denied it. Then the next day, totally by coincidence, Lebatard Show was on First Take, and they brought it up. They denied any farting that happened on set.
We'll see if Kellerman can make up for it on his boxing broadcast tomorrow.
Do you think it's the manly thing to do to just own up to it?
Yeah, absolutely. He should just own up to
it. You're not going to be...
He's not going to get fined. He's not going to get suspended.
It's a fart. I mean, you didn't say any cuss words.
It's a gate is what it is.
Yeah. So, bad job on you, Kellerman. Just own up to
Shame
it. Be
on
a man.
You.
Let's move on to the first time we've ever done this on the podcast. Let's move to questions.
Just fan questions. Thank you guys for submitting your questions. We've had a bunch of questions, Instagram and Twitter. You can find us on there.
I'll start with Jeffrey. I don't know how many questions you got. We'll just go to the ones that I got and then the ones that we both got on Twitter.
Okay.
That were sent to both
of us. Sounds good to me.
So I'll throw it out to you first, and then you can just throw it back to me. So first, from some guy on Instagram, jcoopjr27, who is Timothy Zane?
Who is Timothy Zane, Chris Gross? We've had this conversation. We've teased this mystery for a long time, and we just don't have enough evidence to fully go into the Timothy Zane story, if you will.
See, the prosecutorial team of Jeffrey and Chris this week, we spent all of our resources on Max Kellerman. We didn't have any time to put in any such type of investigation into Timothy Zane.
But perhaps for next week, we can go deep into the investigation.
Yeah.
But I can tell you right now, I have two main suspects.
I do too. And I believe we have the same suspects. We might reveal those on next week's pod.
Are we? Oh, I was going to do them right now. Do you not want to?
Go ahead and throw them out there.
My number one is Kevin Correa.
Yeah.
My number two is Taylor Phillips.
My money's on Kevin.
Me too.
But I could totally see it being Taylor.
But do you think either of them would admit it?
No. Because I've asked both of them about it.
Yes.
And they said no.
Exactly.
Like Kevin, again, like in a Max Kellerman type situation, Kevin vehemently denying. It's almost a he who denied it supplied it type thing.
But the odds that it is Kevin are very good.
Yes.
Okay. So we got that out of the way.
Funny. Our next question is from Kevin. He says, how much wood could a woodchuck physically chuck if woodchuck could chuck wood?
I'll go with two chucks. Two woodchucks.
I was going to say like one and a half.
One and a half? All right.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. All right. I have a question. It's actually a sports question.
Yeah.
My boy Armin on Instagram. Will LeBron come back strong next year, or do you think the decline has already begun?
I think he comes back strong.
You think he comes back to like LeBron finals form?
No.
Like eight finals in a row?
But I don't think we see LeBron miss the playoffs again.
I agree. Yeah, I think he'll bounce back, but I do think that he will never get to the level that he was at before this season.
I agree. And this year was a little unfair because we had the groin injury that happened against the Warriors on Christmas Day. And I don't think they would have made the playoffs, but they would have been much closer at the end of the year if he didn't miss that stretch.
Absolutely.
Here's a sports question from my buddy, Jason Atkinson.
Cool.
Should the Minnesota Wild be allowed to wear North Stars throwbacks?
This is a great debate. First of all, do you know who the Minnesota North Stars are?
Yeah, it was the team that moved down here and became the Dallas Stars.
Very good.
Yes.
No, the Minnesota North Stars should not be able to wear the Minnesota Wild should not be able to wear the North Stars throwbacks because the North Stars throwbacks are part of the Dallas Stars franchise.
Here's my answer.
I understand.
Yeah.
No, I understand people saying the other way around, but I tend to side on what I just described.
I love throwback uniforms. Like this week, the Chargers announced that their powder blues is now their primary. Like in total
awesome.
Injustice that it hasn't been that.
Yes.
Long. So I love like throwback uniforms. My inclination is to say no, but I say no as long as the current franchise uses them, and I don't think the Stars do.
The Stars don't use them.
So my thing is, if the Stars don't use them, then the Wild should be, because I want to see them. And it kind of, to me, is like how the Texans should not be able to wear Oilers throwbacks unless the Titans don't want to.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. That was my next question.
I think where the franchise travels to keeps the rights to the old uniforms. But if that franchise doesn't want them, it goes to the city. Because I think they should be worn. But if I think first claim goes to the franchise. They don't want it, it goes back to the city. So I say no with a caveat.
Okay.
Is what I say.
I'm there for that. Last question I got from my Instagram, and then we can move on. What is your dream offseason for the Mavs?
My dream offseason for the Mavs. Well, obviously it would be getting like a Kevin Durant.
Klay Thompson.
Yeah, Klay Thompson. But that's not going to happen. So,
but it's a dream.
Yeah, then I take Klay Thompson.
Me too. Klay Thompson's mine.
So, like, more realistically, get Vucevic.
Yeah.
But no, it can't be Klay Thompson. Just think about that. Luka, Klay Thompson, and Porzingis next year. Maybe Dirk comes back for a game or two.
Just think about it.
Oh, it's awesome. Let's move to some Twitter questions because...
Please.
We got one from our buddy Cray Tray Vids that I want to read last.
Oh, we did? Okay, I didn't see Cray Tray's.
So he actually sent in two. He sent in one on Twitter and one on Instagram.
Okay.
We'll read him his Twitter question first.
Absolutely.
This is a good one. You have 12 chances to make a half-court shot.
I did see this. Okay.
If you make one, you get $12 million. If you don't make any, you spend 12 months in jail. Do you take this offer?
So you get one chance at a half-court shot for $12 million.
You get 12 chances.
12 chances. Absolutely, I'm taking that chance. I would absolutely make 1 in 12.
I don't. I don't risk it, dude.
I would take one. I would make 1 in 12. Like, I give myself a 5% chance that
dude,
I wouldn't make 1 in 12.
Wait till you get to a point where you have a wife and a kid, and I bet your answer changes.
Probably.
You don't risk like 12 years in jail.
12 months in jail.
What I said? 12 months in jail. Still, not worth it to me.
Not worth it? I don't have a wife and kid yet, so
12 months,
I don't know.
12 years.
I don't know that feel.
But $12 million is very enticing. Very enticing. How about a question from EA, Asana Zod? Who would win in a UFC cage match? You or Jay Coop?
Man, I don't know.
I say you.
I'm not a great fighter by any means.
I don't have much power.
I have about, how much do you weigh?
I'm hovering around 125-ish.
Are you? No way.
I am, yes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So I have 100 pounds on you.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You weigh 125?
I do, yes.
There's no way.
Bring a scale.
Okay, I'm bringing a scale next week.
So the answer is Jeffrey.
All right, we'll go with that.
Two more questions. Question from Glenn Brockenbush. If you had the number one pick in the NFL draft, but the only draft eligible players were Marvel characters, who you pick in and what position? No Thanos.
My problem is that I always get the DC and Marvel characters mixed up.
Okay.
So I don't know if I can answer this.
If you guess one.
Marvel is the Avengers, right?
Yeah. If you guess one, I'll tell you if it's Marvel or DC. Like, Superman would be the next option, but he's DC, so you can't pick Superman.
Okay. Marvel.
Give
me Aquaman.
He's DC.
Damn it. Iron Man's overrated.
See, to me.
Hulk. I'll take Hulk.
Dang it, I was going to take
Hulk. I'll take Hulk.
What position do you have him play in football?
Hulk? Whatever position I need him to play. Versatile.
He plays both ways.
He can go OL, DL, tight end.
So if you take
linebacker,
Hulk, if you take
running
Hulk,
back.
If you take Hulk, I'm going to take Thor. Also a guy who's very strong.
Solid.
Like, he is a god. Like, you can't kill him. So there's no way you can tackle him. And I make him, running back. Put him on the defensive line. Plays both ways.
Okay, there was one question before we get to Cray's last question. It was from my boy Brendan, friend of the show. If I can find it here, I'm scrolling. Brendan, where's your question?
He's Jeffrey Cooper.
Here we go.
Okay.
No, we got it. Who plays better than what their Corsi shows?
I don't even know what that means.
You're supposed to answer it.
But I don't know what it means.
Corsi is an advanced metric in hockey.
Okay. Then I will say me.
You.
I play better than my Corsi shows.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay. Now I answered. So you explained. Do you know what Corsi is?
Yeah. So it's like, it's basically expected shot totals while you're on the ice. So if it's hard to explain in words, but basically if you're on the ice, and your team gets 15 shots on goal while you're on the ice.
Okay.
You allow 10 shots while you're on the ice. Your Corsi rating is +5.
Okay.
Pretty much that's a very simple version of it. But they also have like shots that miss the goal, shots that hit the goal, shots that are saved. So there's a bunch of different factors.
It's basically just a metric saying how well you shoot versus opponents.
Correct.
Okay.
There you go.
You don't have any more questions over there?
No, that's it.
Okay. This is the big one that I wanted to get to.
Okay.
It actually came from one of Trey's podcast accounts.
Super Films Gamescast 64?
Yes, the Super Games Filmcast on Instagram. He asked, best character in Destiny, and why is it... He said Zorlda. Now, this comes because when he was streaming on Twitch, I would get in the Twitch chat and troll him asking about Zelda games. So I know he's asking about Zelda. And he asked that because I would tell him that like Smash Brothers was a Zelda game. And he said, no, Zelda game has puzzles. So then I started telling him about all these puzzle games, and he said no. So my first question is, obviously, Zelda is not a character in Destiny. And I'm going to get a little bit nerdy here, but I'm going to say the best character in Destiny is actually me. Not like the character I play as, but
you.
But physically me. And it's interesting because when the new season started about 5-6 weeks ago, you began doing these missions every week. Now, you thought you were doing it to begin investigating the Nine, who are these mythical beings who you don't really know how they interact with the universe, but you thought you were going to be looking into who the Nine are. We didn't really know who the Nine are, even dating back to when Destiny 1 came out in 2014. We never knew who the Nine was. So we thought we were investigating the Nine. We actually ended up looking more into into the Drifter, who's this sketchy character. He used to be a guardian, but now he's this rogue light bearer. He comes, he has you play this game where you're collecting motes of dark, and you're like, well, am I really like a guardian if I'm collecting these motes of dark? So you're going into these investigations, and every week you complete this quest, and you end up seeing a conversation between an emissary and the Nine. And this past week, a week ago, the emissary was talking about whoever was physically playing the game. Like, not your character in the, like, the person holding the controller. And it's interesting because Bungie, who developed Destiny, has put these little, like, these fourth wall breaks into the game. So there are some characters in the game who know about me as a player. Like, Ahamkara, or like, to you the layman, they're wish dragons. You get, like, a bone of these dragons and you can make wishes. They know about us as players. And so they know, like, no matter what happens, we will always win because they can kill us over and over and we'll always be there. Or, like, if we stop playing, we still win because then there are no enemies. Like, the enemies don't exist if I'm not playing the game. So they don't understand this. But we learned this past week, the Nine are trying to figure out, the emissary understands that the character, she says, even I have the ability to leave the game. And they're like, well, we can leave this plane. And they said, no. She says, no, he can leave the game. Like, he can stop playing the game. And they don't understand. So there are some beings in this Destiny universe that understand that there is someone in front of the screen with a controller or a mouse and keyboard. And I didn't have him ask me this, but it is interesting that he asked, because the best character, the most important character in Destiny is the player.
Wow. That was a pretty impressive monologue. I got lost about halfway through and then picked it up about three quarters of the way through.
Just like a quick summary to say, even in the video game's lore and their larger world building, the person with the controller is the most important person in the game.
No doubt.
They understand it.
That's why I win every single championship with the Mavs. Because I'm great.
Because when your draft doesn't go the way you want or the season, you can just restart the season.
That's right.
See, I don't think there's anyone in the NBA 2K universe that's wise enough to be aware that Jeffrey Cooperstein has the power to just kind of reset NBA
no
seasons.
Chance.
So, but shout out to the Ahamkara who understand that. And the Nine, they just don't get it. We'll move on to close the podcast like we always do. It's a 24-second shot clock. You get 24 seconds to talk about whatever you want. And Jeffrey, just real quick, I thought that was good. So continue to send in your questions.
Yes, please do.
And we will get to listener questions every time. Jeffrey, I'm going to go first here. I like to throw it to you here first, but I'm peeved.
No, you're good.
And I might go over. We need to talk about elevator etiquette. Please listen to me. Everyone who's listening, if you ever use an elevator, when the elevator doors open, please take the extra 1 second it takes to look to see if someone's coming off. Do not assume that the elevator is empty. When those doors open, if you immediately, your first reaction is to step into the elevator without looking to see if anybody's coming off, you are rude and you are a terrible person.
You mad, bro?
I am.
Is this from experience? Did this happen at Cumulus today?
Like, I don't want to call anybody out, but it seriously happens to me every time I come to work.
Is it someone we know that it happened to today?
Sometimes it happens to people we know, but it happens to a lot of people. Like, I seriously think everybody that works here,
assume the elevator's empty all the time?
Yeah, and they just try to walk on. Oh, sorry. Well, you know what? Learn some elevator etiquette.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that.
Jeffrey, here's your 24 seconds. It begins now.
Dude, so I caved. I can't believe I did it. I started watching Game of Thrones.
Okay.
I just finished episode 6 before we got here. It's pretty crazy. I was never into, like, all that medieval stuff and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I just finally started watching it, and I was like, you know what? This is pretty good. So started last night, got through episode 6, trying to get caught up by episode 4 of this season. Going to take a great binge-watching effort, but we're going to try to make it happen.
Dude, yeah. Because we talked last night, and I was like, I'm pretty sure he told me last night that he didn't watch. So that's impressive that you got 6 episodes already.
Yeah, I didn't watch, and then one of my friends was like, "Do you want to watch Game? I'm going to start watching Game of Thrones," and I was like, "All right, I will too."
Shout out to my brother who like binged the entire like available directory in like 3 weeks.
And what's cool about it is that the new episodes go up instantly.
Really?
Yeah. Like as soon as they air, The second the episode's over, it goes up on their on-demand service.
So you don't
service.
Even have to worry about, like, waiting that extra day yeah. like most TV networks do.
That's right. So my goal is by episode 4, which is 2 weeks and 2 days from now. Don't know if that'll happen. Definitely by episode 5.
It's nice that we're into the Mavericks off season.
Yes.
Because I feel like during the season you wouldn't have had a chance.
No chance. Can't watch any tomorrow. Can't watch much Sunday. But Sunday night, we'll get at least 3 episodes in.
Major props to you. I will be supporting you along the way.
Thank you.
I support you in your quest here. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. Follow him on Twitter, at jcoopjr27. I'm at Chris's Gross, K-R-I-S-I-S-G-R-O-S-S. A couple places you can listen to the podcast on KESN1033.com/podcast. You can hear us most Saturdays on the Pod Hour. Now, there's no episode this upcoming Saturday, which is tomorrow if you're listening
there's
on
no
Friday.
There's no episode tomorrow.
No episode tomorrow. Executive decision by the big bosses. I had no say. But we'll be back next week, and you can hear some of us there, 2 to 3 on 103.3 FM ESPN. Also, you can find us on Apple Podcasts. That's a great way to download it. Whenever the episode's done, we just load it up right there, and it's already in your directory. But, Jeffrey, the Pod Hour is a great way to get the word out about the show. I think it's really going to help us spread the word, but that's not the best way.
Not the best way.
What is?
Word of mouth is the best way, Chris. And who should you tell?
Well, you should tell a lot of people. Like, you should tell all your buddies who watch Game of Thrones.
Which is like everyone on Earth.
Yes, except for like me, apparently. You should tell.
So you haven't watched yet?
No, I've not watched a single episode. You should obviously tell your buddies who don't watch Game of Thrones.
Sure.
You should watch your buddies that if you don't make the half-court shot and you end up in jail.
And they're in jail, tell those guys too?
Obviously, if you're listening, please tell like your cellmates and the guys you see at rec time. Like when you play basketball with them.
Tell those guys.
Tell them. Tell them to listen. But most importantly, the most important person you should tell.
Your ex-wife.
That's the most important person.
That's it.
We say it every week. And I'm just waiting for like a testimonial of someone who says that this was a good relationship.
It's going to happen.
Between them.
It's
going to
happen.
Ex-wife. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. We're signing off. Jeffrey, we'll be back next week with another great episode. Goodbye.
Okay. Thanks.